Good afternoon. I'm Jason Parrott, and this is Emphasis. Joining us this afternoon is Sue Prochaska, who is the director for the Tri-State Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Abuse. Sue, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having us, especially at this important time.
And that's what we want to talk about. Some major changes coming to not just the coalition, but shelters and such throughout Iowa. It looks like we're going more in a regional approach than the local approach. Where are we going here?
Exactly. The Crime Victim Assistance Division of the Iowa Attorney General's Office has proposed a plan that will completely restructure how Iowa victim services are funded for both domestic and sexual abuse victim service agencies. Their proposal includes a shell that we're working with at this point to get started. And part of this came about because we've had 6-7 years of continued decrease in funding cuts, a projected $1 million shortfall beginning next July 1. We all knew that something different was going to have to happen, and we, as many states, are dealing with this as well. This new approach got us working hard to try to figure this out. It's a bit challenging at this point. So Iowa will go to 6 regions. Each region will receive 3 different service contracts, domestic abuse comprehensive service contract, shelter-based service contracts, and sexual abuse comprehensive service contracts. So 6 regions. 3 contracts, which equals regionalized services. So we, as directors around the state, have been kind of charged with coming together and figuring this out.
Does that mean that there would be 3 facilities in each region handling the 3 contracts, 1 contract for each facility, or is that what's being worked out at this point?
It's a great question, because that's what's being worked out at this point, because we're charting new territory here. If you look at the existing programs now in the state, some regions only have 3 programs. And so 3 service contracts, they're going to have a little less to figure out. They still have a lot to figure out. In the eastern portion of Iowa and in our newly formed Southeast Iowa region, we're a part of 14 counties, but there's 7 programs that exist. What's going to happen after regionalization, and depending on how much funds will come out to each region, we're not sure what that's going to mean for our region. I can talk a little bit about for our program, but every region is dealing with a different set of challenges.
What are the areas in this new region that have the services right now?
It's a 14-county area, which is a new Southeast region. There are 7 programs in existence right now. Of those 7 programs, there are 6 shelters. There are 2 standalone nonprofits, of which our agency is one. The other 5 are under the umbrella of a larger parent organization that does more than just victim services. However, if you look at where the community's now, it's Burlington, Clinton, Davenport, Iowa City, actually 2 programs in Iowa City. It's big enough to have 2 separate agencies. One for domestic abuse services, 1 for sexual assault services. And then we look at Keokuk, our own agency, and then Muscatine. So that's how the division is now.
I would assume the discussions are probably look at either by population or by, I guess you could say, distance, being you're talking such a stretch from the Quad Cities and Iowa City clear down to Keokuk. Is that kind of where the group is, since it's such early stages, where you're looking at right now?
It is. And the state is looking at a variety of funding formulas based on population, based on base amount. So we don't know what we're going to get to our region. We're guesstimating, best guesstimate at this point, anywhere from 1 to 1.3 million for our region. Now, that sounds like a lot, but it's not. It's still a major cut. And then how will that money be contracted? What we've had concerns, I'm in a region that's working very well together to try to figure this out. The directors are really committed to trying to come up with a regional service plan that keeps the infrastructure in place that we have now, but it's going to look a lot different. What we know is 3 major contracts are probably going to be out of Iowa City, 2 out of Iowa City, and 1 out of Davenport.
When it comes to, you talked about so many cuts in recent years, 6 or 7 years worth of cuts. At the highest, what was the funding level for the Tri-State Coalition, and where are we at right now?
Well, it was probably about 7 or 8 years ago, we were just under $500,000 in our total agency budget. Now we're $350,000. So you can see over the last 7-8 years how much that's gone down. And it's similar for all the programs across the state. That's a combined state and federal ongoing cut. So we know that we can't keep doing the same thing given those cuts. Unfortunately, the challenge is, for example, when it comes to shelter-based services, there will probably only be one or two shelter facilities per region in the state. That's a huge decline in shelter facilities. And for our program, that means our shelter will most likely close in the next year. But we are working hard to keep our agency open. Two-thirds of what we do is beyond just shelter-based services, but obviously that's a key component of what we do. We're not the only ones dealing with that struggle. It's going to happen across the state.
And so that's what I want to make sure and kind of understand. While the shelter services here could close, would this plan allow the agency, the Tri-State Coalition, to remain open?
Yes, and that's what we're working hard to cover right now, particularly instead of getting those state and federal grant dollars directly from the Crime Victim Assistance Division, one option would be through subcontract, and all regions are looking at that subcontracting issue. Because part of the reason for this plan is it's supposedly to be more cost-effective, but it's not cost-effective to reinvent the wheel and establish a whole new infrastructure. We need to try to keep as much of that infrastructure in the state as we have it. So we're going to look different, hopefully continuing to maintain those outreach services. And in a kind of ironic twist, we might be taking on more counties to do that. But we just know that where the funding is coming from and what the limits are, we've had to take a hard look at what can we do. We are very committed to keeping local services here.
When it comes to, though, the possible loss of the shelter, what does that mean? I mean, for someone thinking about that, if someone is in a situation that they need to get out of, would they have to go to an Iowa city? Would they have to go to a Davenport? Is that what we're leading towards?
And that's one of the million-dollar questions right now is what does that look like? Trends that we know in our state and nationally is that we're moving away from shelter-based services. However, we do need to address emergency situations. And there are some communities in Iowa that don't have shelters, and they've been looking at issues like hotel stays, rapid rehousing efforts, transitional housing efforts, limited stay in a shelter in another place, but getting giving people the financial and social supports to be able to move or relocate. We are still at the tip of the iceberg of figuring that out because we want to make sure that when it's 2 a.m. and we get a call from a mom and three kids needing a place to go, that we have a plan in place. That's going to be a challenge for our region.
Is law enforcement involved in these discussions? Because they play right into what you guys are doing. They're probably getting those calls at about the same time you are. How much is law enforcement involved in these talks?
This is all pretty new to us. And part of what I am doing and other directors are doing are going out to meet with our key community stakeholders and those support systems that we connect with on the community-wide to help us do the work that we're doing and to try to create some more resources from individuals. If you can think about our 14-county area, on any given day, we need to have advocates on call to respond to any police department in that 14-county area, and we want to maintain those connections. I'll be part of what we're rolling out in October is meeting with all of our constituencies, including law enforcement, to explain this, get their take on that. But that's a whole other area that is going to be a challenge. Just if you think about one day, what does that look like?
What's the response been from the partners as you've been going out? You've told me that you've had meeting after meeting here of just kind of getting everybody ready for what's coming.
It's been a quite a mix. The good news that I have to report is the response in support for us and for maintaining local services has been great. But I think people are very saddened by the news. It's hard to think about not having a particular key service that's been in the community for quite a while. That's the hard part in meeting with people and giving them the news. But the key thing here is that our local support has been great. It's been great to talk with one-on-ones. We're with individuals. We're going out to talk with groups, and that kind of support we get are getting a lot of support. Plus, there are questions, comments, concerns that we're collecting. We're also, as a part of our transition, creating a community transition team, and we're asking for individuals to help, whether they're private individuals, private donors, or representatives from area agencies. So we've appreciated that. And that will actually work towards our favor because 40% of the funding that we do get is not tied to these particular state and federal grants that will help us put us in a position for subcontracts.
When the model comes in, and Tri-State Coalition would still be in its capacity just without the shelter, could there be a privately funded shelter if groups came forward in business, industry, any type of the partners you talk about? Is that something that could be a possibility?
That discussion has come up in our region, and it's come up in other regions too. How can we maintain this? And for our program, for example, we use a lot of our local dollars to pay the light bill, to for all those operation costs, but it's been the state and federal grants that have covered the staffing cost, about $150,000 a year. It's hard to replace that with a community fundraiser. That doesn't mean that communities around the state are looking at that as how can we raise private dollars to perhaps keep that resource. But the reality check is that it's going to be very difficult. And that's the tough decision that we've had to make as an agency, because we would like to see something versus nothing in our community. Again, we're one of the great things that we have as far as Iowa is lots of connections with other directors. So that's been a constant, lots of phone calls, conference calls to brainstorm those ideas about what if we were able to do it separately. We just know that the federal, there's going to be limits on state and federal grants as to what they're going to do.
Does this require legislative approval because it involves state money? Is that who actually says this is a final plan where these are the regions, this is the idea?
The plan came out from the Attorney General's office, from the Crime Victim Assistance Division. As you know, the legislative session, the legislators are not in session. They are gathering input and putting together an overall plan to present to the legislature in January. And we hopefully will get information as to what that timing and that process is. The challenge for us is that the grant applications for this new phase and this new process are coming out in January. The grants are due the end of February. Contracts will probably come out next June for start of transition July 1. So we're feeling the crunch, and that's a lot, a short amount of time to do a lot of planning and to make that adjustment. We know that next year is going to be quite the transition year, so we're not sure yet what that process for unveiling that plan to the legislature will be.
So at this point here, what would be the best guess scenario as to when the official changes would come?
What we've been told now is that July 1 will start a year transition. Typically, our grants are three-year grants cycles. What has been decided so far at the state level is that July 1 would start a transition year. Again, still figuring out what does that mean, what does that look like. And then the following year would start a three-year grant cycle.
What is the most important thing that you would want people to take away from our discussion and what things are looking like? What's the most important thing you want them to walk away after hearing this?
One, we have not disbanded. There's been some rumors floating around. That's not true. We're still here. The other thing is that help us promote the outreach services. It's understandable that the community ties us to the shelter. That's a strong part of what we do. But we also want to make sure that people know about all the other outreach services that we do and keep referring individuals for help. Call us. Have us come to your group to talk about that, your church, your organization, your business. We're going out kind of on the road in the next month. We do have an email, special email set up for where people can send in their thoughts, comments, concerns. It's tsctransition@gmail.com.
Sue, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks so much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
That was Sue Prochaska. She is the director of the Tri-State Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Abuse. For Tri-State's Public Radio News, I'm Jason Parrott.